and the other belonged to a British ally, the Nizam of Hyderabad, and both provided a feast of vulture fodder. Horses, oxen, camels, and people died. The armies had a great sprawl of camp followers, merchants, herders, whores, wives, and children, and among all of those the plagues ran riot. But this hot March day promised new death, and the vultures seemed to sense it, and more birds joined the spiring column of wings above the marching men. "Ugly bastard birds," Sharp said. "Rats with wings." No one in the 33rd's light company had the breath to answer. The air was choking from the dust kicked up by the men ahead, so the ranks stumbled through a warm grit that parched their throats and stung their eyes. Most of the men were not even aware of the vultures, were so weary they had not even noticed the troop of cavalry that had suddenly appeared half a mile to the north. Sharp noticed them. British cavalry. The fancy boys come to see how proper soldiers fought. Ahead, from a low rise where a second group of horsemen was silhouetted against the furnace whiteness of the sky, a gun fired. The crack of the cannon was immense, a billow of sound that punched hollow and malignant across the plain. The shot missed the red-coated infantry by 200 paces, but it woke the weary. "Jesus," a voice said. "What was that?" "A bloody awful shot," Sharp said. "My mother could lay a gun better than that." "I didn't think you had a mother," Private Gerard said. "Everyone's got a mother, Tom." "Not Sergeant Hakeswell," Gerard spat. Hakeswell was spawned of the devil. Sharp wondered whether Tom would run with him. And would Mary come? Mary was Sergeant Bickerstaff's widow. She was half Indian and half English and 22, which was the same age as Sharp, at least he thought it was. He was not really sure, on account of having a whore for a mother, who did a runner after he was born. Left him for a foundling home to raise.
"No talking!"
Sergeant Hakeswell's voice screeched.
"Save your godless breath!"
His eyes flicked to Sharp.
"Was you talking, Sharpie?"
"Not me, Sarge."
"You ain't got orders to talk. The King wanted you to have a conversation and I told you so. It says so in the scriptures. Give me a firelock, Sharpie. Quick, now."
Sharp handed his musket to the sergeant. It was Hakeswell's arrival in the company that had persuaded Sharp to run. Hakeswell had added injustice to boredom. Not that Sharp cared about injustice, for only the rich had justice. But Hakeswell's injustice was touched with such malevolence there was hardly a man in the light company not ready to rebel. Yet to look at Hakeswell was to see the perfect soldier. It was true that his lumpy face twitched every few seconds, as though an evil spirit was twisting beneath his sun-reddened skin. But his eyes were blue, his uniform was smart, and he performed drill so crisp and clean it was a pleasure to watch. But then his oddly childlike eyes would flicker sideways, and you could see the devil peering out. Sharp stood motionless as the sergeant untied the rag, protecting his musket's lock from the insidious dust. Hakeswell turned away from Sharp so the sun could fall full on the weapon. He peered at the lock, cocked the gun, dry-fired it, then seemed to lose interest as a group of officers spurred their horses towards the head of the stalled column. "You'll not find out wrong with it, Sarge," Sharp said. Hakeswell did an about-turn.
"Did I hear me give you permission to speak, Sharpie?"
"No, Sarge."
"No, you did not. Flogging your fence that, Sharpie."
The vehement evil of Hakeswell's face was suddenly so intense, the whole light company momentarily held its breath in expectation of Sharp's arrest. Then the thumping discharge of the enemy cannon served to distract Hakeswell. The officers had stopped their horses and now used telescopes to inspect the distant ridge.
"That's our colonel, boys," Hakeswell announced. "Colonel Arthur Wellesley himself, God bless him for a gentleman. He's come to see you fight, so make sure you do. And I shall be watching you. You ain't none of you been in a proper fight before. But if so much as one of you turns his back, I'll have the skin off the lot of you. Bare bones and blood, that's what you'll be. But you does your duty and you can't go wrong. Remember that, lads?"
The face twitched grotesquely.
"Keeps your eyes on me, and you'll be right as trivets. And you know why," he cried. "Because I cannot die, boys. I cannot die."
His voice was hoarse and full of fervour in a speech the light company had heard many times before.